And what we do is we dramatize our memories to justify our feeling bad, down, depressed, angry. And so we're often addicted to a past that didn't even actually happen.
The moment that happens, like, it just, it hits your energy levels and you become frustrated and you become irritated. And then that's that thing starting to pull you down. And the hyperregulation then is like, okay, I've noticed this is happening and I need to get back to that state. Hi, and welcome to The Expansive. If you are new here, my name is Eric Kruger. And as always, I am joined by my ever elegant new book coming out, soon to be bestseller, co-host, Mr. John Sonne. John, how are you, brother?
I'm great. That was a bit of a short. Don't you want to just extend it? Like, add more to it.
No, we can get to it.
Yeah. Great. All good. Thank you very much. I'm sitting here in Dubai. Just got him back from Mexico and New York, and just settling into Dubai for a couple of days before I come back to Cape Town. So all very good, coming off the high of 2 weeks with Dr. Joe Dispenza. And for the people that listen to the podcast, you'll know that that's been sort of all-consuming for the last 2 weeks, and I have so much to share about it as it starts to solidify inside my own head. Eric, tell us about you, how you're doing, and also your new found passion with paddle. Tell us a little bit of what's going on there.
Yeah, listen, no, all good. I've been busy with quite a few team relaunches, something new I've been doing, which I've been really enjoying. And paddle has become this like new little bit of an obsession for me lately. but I think we've been sharing this, right? And like the showdown is nearing. Like the
I didn't know there was a showdown. This is getting more and more serious. There's so much. We're not even going to have fun by the time we arrive to this match.
Remember, I'm an Enneagram number 3, so that's the competitive achiever. So like,
okay,
we can't just have fun on the paddle court. What do you mean?
Okay,
what is fun? Is winning, right?
Yes. To be honest with you, when I lose a paddle game, I've just had not as much fun. So yes, I hear you. For anybody out there who doesn't know what paddle is, look it up. It's the fastest growing sport in the world, apparently. In America, they have something called pickle, which is similar but not the same. But paddle is made up kind of like of tennis and squash and beach bats. It's like a mix of those three, and really taking the world by storm. There's paddle courts everywhere. Mexico, Dubai, Cape Town, wherever I'm spending time, I see a paddle court. Even, you know what's so funny? I was running in the resort in Mexico. There was a grass paddle pitch, court. Yeah, made of grass, like Wimbledon.
Sure.
Which I thought was quite interesting.
But I have to tell you, I don't know if you know this, even though paddle has now become a big thing, it was invented in the 1960s. Do you know that?
Yeah, in Spain,
wasn't
it?
Mexico or Spain. It's been around for a long, long time.
A long time, yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because this is now the second example for us actually of the day about this compounding effect of doing the same thing over and over. And at some point, like there's a tipping point and something that was maybe unknown before becomes very known, or something that was small becomes very big.
Why don't you tell the listeners what we're talking about off air? That this is the second one.
So we were speaking about your Joe Dispenza experience, and the second part of what you attended was a week-long workshop, meditation workshop, right? Or meditation sessions. And 1,500 people attended that workshop, right? And I'm like, I'm blown away, because if I think of how challenging it can be sometimes to fill like your own workshops, you know, and like you're aiming for like 30 or 50 people. It's like... But then you were saying that Joe has been doing this since he was like 20. And we were like, he's been giving the same message to the world over and over and over and building and building. And it really kind of exploded for him about 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. You know, somebody sent this video around where he's a student at somebody else's workshop. And he's almost saying verbatim what he's saying right now on stage. He's obviously gone much deeper into it. But that momentum and the tipping point is just, you know, such a classic business meme, right? You know, it's like, keep going, you know, somebody gives up just before they get to the diamond. Do you know this story is also quite interesting, is The Alchemist by Paulo, what's his name?
Paulo Coelho.
apparently that book, The Alchemist, was out for 8 years before it became a bestseller. And so also, you know, he was also at it for a very, very long time. So 10 years, 20 years of behind the scenes work to become an overnight success. So I guess that's kind of what is interesting.
Mr. Beast, how long he was on YouTube for, what, 7 years, like for a long, long time. And then all of a sudden, like, but you know, in the process, I mean, he was studying, he was tweaking, he was learning, he was iterating, he was surrounding himself with people who understood the YouTube mechanics.
So how does the self-coaching system work for you, Eric? You feeling better now after you've coached?
I'm feeling much better. I think so. I'm ready for the next like 1,000 expansive podcast episodes now.
Yeah, just to remind ourselves all the hard work that does behind the scenes.
The long, long game
to pay off. But also something, you know, this also dawned on me at the Joe Dispenza retreat is that we are already successful. And I think that a lot of the times, and I say we as in everybody in their own way is already successful. I mean, our podcast is already listened to by really 4,000 people a month, 5,000 people. That's a lot of people that are listening, which, you know, a few years ago was unheard of. And also, you know, you're a best-selling author now. And like, these are all amazing things that we take for granted, we forget, and then we bring our ambition into play and we want to just be more, you know? And I think it's there's a lack of gratitude. There's a lack of wholeness on all of our parts that we're guilty of. Mm-hmm. And when we are putting out the message of lack, the universe reflects back lack. So I think it's really about overcoming our environment, our time and our body to think ahead of what we want rather than being reactive to where we are and where we come from. So I think that process is really what we want to talk about today. So what a good segue, John. Well done.
There we go.
Thank you very much. So what we want to talk about today is, again, I mean, it's very difficult to leave 2 weeks with Dr. Joe and not have it totally infiltrated every aspect of your life. But this process for me is called self-regulation. And it's something we learned over the sort of week of corporate training, but also something he mentioned many times inside the week long. And this idea of self-regulation is really the process of change. And I think that everybody wants to change and 99% of people fail. This is the whole idea around New Year's resolutions not working, going to gym for a Monday and Tuesday, but not going for the rest of the week. You know, it's the same, same old, same old, same old. So this idea of self-regulation is what we're going to unpack today and what I've learned from the process and actually what I'm practicing myself so that I can bring a process of change, real change to my life and not just stop when it starts feeling uncomfortable. Before we jump in, Eric, any comments?
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you on it. Change is hard because there are so many other things that are also important to us. The pool of autopilot is immensely strong. And so even if we have the best intentions of changing, it's very easy to get caught up in everything else. And the change that you want so desperately falls by the by, only for you to come back to it again, because that change is like it's unfinished. And so you're going to keep coming back to it until it's resolved. And I think having a process and having a structure for it makes it a bit easier. You know, like it's kind of like here's your roadmap for change.
Yes, yes, exactly. I made a post yesterday on social media. I don't know if you saw it, but it was about this idea that 50% of our memories are false or 50% of our memories are true. And what we do is we dramatize our memories to justify our feeling bad, down, depressed, angry. And so we're often addicted to a past that didn't even actually happen. We've over-dramatized it to such a point that we justify ourselves and the actions and behaviors we have. And what we realize is that most of our lives is based on memories of the past and most often dramatized memories of our past. So what does this mean? It means that any sort of self-regulation or change is impossible if we keep repeating the trigger points from the past. Now, if your future is a reflection of your past, the only place that is unknown or the only place that is not a representation of the past is the now. And so how do you get into the now? And this becomes the beginning of change. Because if you continuously stay in the past and in the future, there is no new, there is no change. Because why? Because you've been triggered by the same things over and over and over and over without even realizing you've been triggered. And then you still dramatize parts of it. And this is all of us, right? Not just everybody out there, but all of us. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to put ourselves into a state of the unknown. And we have to put ourselves into the state of releasing ourselves from the past, from the future, and our known selves. Now, if you've ever listened to Dr. Joe Dispenza meditation, you most probably have listened to one of his very early ones on YouTube that's for free. And it's an incredibly irritating one because in it, he says, space. And anybody who listens to that is like, what is wrong with this guy? This is terrible. And he even mocks himself now because, you know, he's always improving his meditations. And he actually mocked himself on stage. He's like, this is why I ask you guys to go space. And so if you've ever listened to that meditation and didn't listen to another one, I don't blame you because it was terrible. But what he's trying to do there is get yourself to release your old you and the new and the future you into the unknown and into the unknown, into the present moment. And this becomes the beginning of our ability to change. Okay. So first off, we have to come into the unknown, into stillness. And it's only from this point of stillness that we can start to take the next step. And the next step of change is rehearsal of how to act, who you want to be, what process do you want to follow for the rest of the day. So in the mornings, you want to get yourself into a state of nobody, nowhere, no time, become invisible and away from your past self and the future self, the known self, and move into the unknown self, into the sweet present moment, as Dr. Joe calls it. In that sweet present moment, you're nobody, nowhere, no time. Now you can start rehearsing how you want to be, who you want to be, and how you want to show up in the world. Now what's happening is like all sports stars that you listen to, they have rehearsed them winning that game, that gold medal, millions of times. So what they've superimposed that reality into their consciousness, and then their conscious mind starts to look for that belief system that's been rehearsed into their subconscious. So step one, move from the known self to the unknown self, come into the sweet present moment and start to rehearse what the rest of the day looks like. Any comments?
I'm totally with you. I like the rehearsal idea a lot. We know that there's also, from a scientific point of view, there's lots of backing for the idea of visualization, right? Of course. Like that's essentially what you're advocating for.
Well, I mean, the best example of that is President Zelensky paid a president on TV for 2 years before he became president. Trump paid 14 seasons of, this is all the imprinting that's happening inside our heads without us even realizing. And when you make certain purchases without even thinking about them, this is the imprinting of marketing that's been happening inside our heads forever.
Have you ever seen Formula One drivers? Lewis Hamilton. I've seen videos of him where like he's sitting with the steering wheel in his hand and like in his mind, he's like going through the different turns, right?
Yes.
So by the time they get to that, because I mean, you're going around that
280 kilometers an hour.
Stupid pace, yeah. So they have every corner memorized and visualized exactly where the line is going to be, how they're going to come in, how they're going to come out. So I think that's also a good example of it.
Nice. Good. Okay, I like that. Then the second step is, now that you've rehearsed who you want to be and how you want to react to the world, overcoming your environment, your time and body, you then have to become hyper self-aware of you lapsing into an old emotional state. Just off air, I was talking about you winning one of the jobs and our friend Terrence winning another one of my jobs, our jobs, my jobs. Yeah, it wasn't my job. He won it. Sorry, that slipped. Freudian slip. Terrence Murray is a good friend of ours. And well, Eric, I don't think you've met him, but he's a great guy.
No.
He's in the same world as us. He's a keynote speaker, lives in London. And he got a job for the Oman Bank, which was supposed to be mine. In my mind movie, it was mine. But anyway, I didn't meditate hard enough on it. So the old John would have reacted in a secretive, frustrated, and irritable manner. And I became hyper self-aware when my business manager, Anita, told me that Terrence had gotten that job. And I immediately went into a process of self-regulation. So once you've rehearsed how you're going to be, who you're going to be, you move into hyper self-awareness so that you are not falling back into the old patterning of the addicted brain and reaction to the world. And then you put yourself into a state of self-regulation. So what is self-regulation? Self-regulation is getting yourself out of a state of beta into a state of alpha. That's a brain wave. So moving yourself from a process of irritation, analytical, outcome-based thinking to a process of imagination, collaboration, and calm. And so self-regulation becomes the process of breathing, moving, whatever it is that gets you back into a state that is one of calm rather than irritation. Any comments?
You know, I think it's one of the hardest things to do, because even when you go through Dr. Joe's meditations, like, one thing he's trying to get you to do is to anchor the emotion to the point that when you go through your day and something upsets you, that you can remember what that feeling was like and live into that feeling again.
That's it.
And I've caught myself quite a few times, maybe in the past week or two, being able to do that, being able to say, oh, like, because what happens is, like, you wake up in the morning, you're all intention, you are all focused, you are all, like, goal driven, and then halfway through the day, you're like, oh, like, it's just not going. Like, I'm not productive, I'm frustrated, like, a deal falls through, or, yeah, like, you know, and then, like, the moment that happens, like, it hits your energy levels, and you become frustrated, and you become irritated. Yeah. And then that thing starting to pull you down, and the hyperregulation then is like, okay, I've noticed this is happening, and I need to get back to that state. And yeah.
You've just said the most important thing. I've noticed I'm off track, I need to bring myself back on. That in itself is just so powerful, Eric, more than anything else, you know?
And it's incredibly hard, because when we start feeling those emotions, we actually just want to indulge in them. Like, you feel justified that you should be angry and frustrated.
When you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but in my first book, I called it peeing in your nappy. It's like, you know, for the very first 30 seconds, you feel warm, familiar, and comfortable, and relieved that you're back to your old self. And then after that, it's the worst ever, because now your nappy's cold, it's wet, you smell, all those sort of things, you know? So the next thing we need to do is we need to give ourselves new emotions to anchor onto, so that we have a tool set to jump straight into. And I learned this with my relationship with money, you know? For the longest time, I was anxious, frustrated, and fearful that there wasn't going to be enough money. And then I created, I did that course with Angela Deitchman, and then she taught me to move from to excitement, ease, and love. And these became three new emotions that I could anchor myself onto every time I came to the point of feeling anxious, frustrated, or fearful that there wouldn't be enough money. Self-regulate, give myself three new emotions, or however many emotions that I can anchor myself into, and then start feeling those, so that I have them as a tool set ready to go, so that when you did lose that job, hopefully it was to me, and when you did lose that job, you need an anchor point of what it is. What is it? It's like, I feel inspired by the fact that he got it, or I feel good for him, he deserves it, or whatever the case may be. Let me take my energy and get on to the next one. So you need three, or I like three because it's a nice number, is how can I move to a state where I anchor myself into new emotions?
You know, and what it comes down to is, like, those things are pre-planned. They are, because, and this is, the entire process is so intentional and it's so structured, because if you don't have that, then you're going to have to try and create that in the moment, and that's not going to work. You need to know what it is beforehand. You need to have lived into that beforehand, so that when the pool of negativity comes around, you are able to get yourself out of that. And I'm just, you know, more and more what I'm realizing, because I've been doing a lot of work with teams lately, in providing them with structures and frameworks for teams.
Come closer to the mic.
Oh,
yeah.
I've been working with them on creating structure and frameworks in their teams. And what I'm realizing is that more, the more structure we have, the more freedom we have, because the more it allows us to just tap into something that we've already created. And we created this in a state where we were at our best, at our ideal, at our highest. And therefore, when I'm low, I know, okay, I can trust this because I've created this from a good place. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's that saying that says structure in your day gives you ultimate freedom. You know, it is. It's like freedom isn't not having any structure. It's having great boundaries and structure so you can be free within them. You know?
And in everything. That's actually what I'm trying to like get. It's like everything. Like just create structure. If you
want to lose weight, make sure you have the right snacks around you, instead of having the bad snacks. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I've been doing, just talking about losing weight, I've just been having sweets around me, like these hard sweets. And instead of eating chocolate or donuts or whatever the case may be, I just have one of these sweets and it hits my now even talking about it now, my mouth is drooling. Anyway, I love these sweets. and I've ran out of them. Anyway, but what they do is they settle my craving for sugar, you know, and I don't have to worry about ordering what's it called, the donuts, Krispy Kreme at 10 o'clock at night. Damn, Uber Eats.
I mean, I was going to say that you're looking quite slender there, like that t-shirt's like slipping off of you right there, like all the weight that you lost while meditating and fasting.
Can I tell you something? We ate like absolute beasts at this retreat. Everybody lost weight. It was the most unbelievable thing. I was like, I was constantly eating, but we were constantly learning and meditating. So I think there was a lot of calorie burning.
But listen, okay, can I tell you, one more thing.
Carry on.
Do you know that when chess grandmasters play chess for like whatever defined period it is, they lose somewhere between 5,000 they burn 5,000 to 8,000 calories.
Wow.
That's how they actually lose weight because of the intensity of energy consumed by the brain.
You know, the brain's a hungry machine.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last point, or the second last point, is expect resistance. You know, you've created the unknown in the morning. You've rehearsed how you want to be for the rest of the day. You brought about hyper self-awareness. You've got a tool set to self-regulate yourself, whether it's breathing or moving or whatever it is. You've anchored yourself into new emotions. This is a process we're going to follow. And, you know, we're following it, you and I. And then expect resistance. And in that state of expecting resistance, I think a great response to resistance is, there's a part of me that still wants to act in the old way. No problem. Come here, let me chat to you. Let's settle it down and let's actually move into the new process. And ultimately, what you want to be doing is repeating this process of self-regulation, hyper-self-awareness, rehearsing, anchoring new emotions, expecting a resistance, and repeat and repeat and repeat until you've moved the dial on certain habits and certain behaviors. And Dr. Joe said this one line that every time catches me and hits me in the gut. He says, people are addicted to lives they don't even like. And that is just such a powerful system that our psyche has created to keep us stuck in a loop. It's a loop-de-loop, loop-de-loop. I hate my life. I'm addicted to my life. So I'm going to go have more conversations to give myself more abilities to feel more shame, more down, because these are the things I'm addicted to. So, you know, as a society, I think many of us are addicted to these things. And so there is a lot of resistance inside our bodies to want to keep to exactly the same addictions we've always been addicted to. And so, yes, expect resistance. But if you don't start the process, you could be addicted to a life you don't even like.
Yeah, listen, that's been really good. Very, very powerful. And I think being able to lay it out like that in such a systematic process, it takes a thing that we all have to deal with, which is change. And I mean, we speak to this like all the time in this podcast. It's like, you're not getting away from it. It's like, it's not only that there are certain changes that you need to make because you look at your life and you go, this isn't good enough. I want better for myself. And then you have to go through the process of change. There's that, but then there's also the fact that the world is changing and externally you have to adapt to your environment, and that the change that you have to make in order to do that is exactly the same process. So this process is whether you are trying to change internally because of what's been happening in your own life, or whether it's adaptation to what's happening in the world around you. The process applies to both. And I think it demystifies a lot of what people have to go through and sets the expectation for what changes.
Well said. I think, you know, the perfect thing to do is to get this new book called Who Do We Become? Because in it,
yes, man,
rolls out the process. So look, I gave you time to launch your book. I didn't want to step on your toes or take any of your media and marketing momentum away from you. But now is my time. We've arrived at my time. What was it? Was it the Zuma? It's my time. I think Trevor Noah did this whole skit around him stealing all the money in the country. It's my time. And anyway, so it's my time now. And who do we become? Begins the process of launch. So anybody listening out there, Who Do We Become is my book that's now on Amazon, as well as all the other bookstores and brands out there. I haven't recorded the Audible as yet. But yes, if you would like to support, I'd really appreciate it. I'm also doing lunchtime talks. So if you buy 200 books, or we can do a deal, I'll come and do a free talk at lunchtime to your employees, an internal talk. These are not external talks. These are internal talks. So if you just buy a number of books, I'll pitch up and do a talk. Also, we're doing launches in Johannesburg and Cape Town. The dates will be all over our social media, so please take a look at that. And also, I'll be doing interviews at, I don't know if I'm going to beat your record of 2,155 interviews, Eric, but I do have a bunch lined up, and I'm really looking forward to sharing the message around who we're becoming and why it's such an important question to ask ourselves. And I think the easiest way I've got people to really think about it is their desperation to figure out what they need to do for their kids. And when I explain to them what they need to do for their kids, it becomes quite easy for them to understand. And then I say, this is also what you need to be doing for yourself. And people are like, oh shit. Because there's a lot of unlearning that needs to be happening in order to be able to adapt and adopt a new behavior and a new way to add value to the world where AI and technology is demonetizing it's demonetizing and totally disrupting so many sectors around us that many things that we once did to make money and add value are becoming irrelevant. And so in the book, what I do is I go through a process of explaining the emotions that are required, as well as some of the tool sets that I've been learning and applying to myself as we evolve into a world that doesn't require us to be analytical, logical, or outcome-based, but really more creative, more fascinated, and more experimental. So yes, join us in one of the launches and look out for some of the interviews that are coming out.
Yeah, listen, and from my side, brother, congratulations on another book.
Thank you.
And to everyone listening, I think the book is worth getting for multiple reasons. I think number one, the question of who do we become? I mean, like, is there something more important to sit with than this is what this entire podcast has been about today as well. It's like, who do you become? Like, that is such an important thing to contemplate. And so even if you buy the book and you don't read it, but you have the book in your house.
Wait, wait, wait. Say that differently. If you buy the book for 10 and don't read them, that's okay. That's okay.
That's
Don't worry
okay.
about that. You can gift them. You can gift them.
Secondly, you'll have John's big smiling face on the cover there. So you can also just display that in your house if you feel like you want a shot of inspiration. But then finally also, for those of you who don't know, like John is a prolific author. Like this is his fifth book now. And I think every book has brought immense value. You are someone who spends a lot of time thinking about not only the changes that are happening in the world, but as we saw today, like the changes that we have to go through to really show up as our best and to create a future that is expansive, a future that is aligned, and a future that is meaningful. And so I think this book is just a continuation of all the incredible work that you've done. And you can go and grab this book without even knowing anything else, apart from the fact that John has put in the intention and the effort to make this something spectacular. So well done,
Thank
brother.
you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Eric. I really appreciate those kind words. And I'm sure we'll be sharing more about it as we go through the podcast over the next month in July, which is really the whole month that I'm going to be marketing it. And also the launch in Cape Town, Eric will also be there. So he'll be emceeing. So come and see us. It'll be a Who Do We Become an expensive event. And so it'll be great to have all of you there as well for that.
And what we'll do is we'll invite everyone to the paddle game that happens beforehand, and then you're welcome to come and support.
Eric, are you sure you want to embarrass yourself and like lose a paddle game before you come and MC? I mean, will you lose? Will you still come and MC if you're going to be so upset?
I'll especially come and MC. You actually want me winning that match.
Yes, I'm going to let you win. I'm going to let you win.
Everyone, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Expansive. It's always great to have you with us. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. You can also leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify. We've been working hard to get to 200 reviews this year, and we love hearing from you. So if you have time, it takes 2 or 3 minutes, go and fill in the form, and we'll give you a shout out on the podcast as well. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and we'll chat again next week, same time, same place. Goodbye.
Ciao.